RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The maritime wealth of Indonesia must be explored by interrelated institutions to have optimal result. Ambassador Usama says Saudi Arabia is focusing to increase cooperation in security sector. Now the news in detail. Indonesia becomes one of countries which is rich with marine resources compared to many countries in the world. Therefore, integrated empowerment and management are needed to optimize the expected result. It was stated by Minister of National Development and Planning Bambang Brojonegoro in the Ocean Consortium Research Declaration in Jakarta on Tuesday.
Sumber daya laut sangat terkait erat dengan pencapaian hampir seluruh tujuan.
Marine resources tightly related to the achievement of sustainable development goals. It is not directly related to sea, but it is also related to the resources kept in the sea, which can be used to achieve the goal of peace and work, economic growth, climate change. Therefore, the synergy cooperation among ministries and institutions must be strengthened so that we can explore the national maritime wealth. It needs also joint effort to manage and explore the maritime resources continuously. Bambang Brojonegoro also explained the maritime sector development have been stipulated to be national development mission for 2015 to 2019 period for realizing Indonesia which is sovereign, independent, based on mutual help. The Saudi Arabian Embassy in Indonesia is celebrating its 87th National Day of Saudi Arabian Kingdom that falls on September 23rd in Grand Ballroom, Ritz-Carlton Hotel, Jakarta on Monday, September 25. During the interview with Voice of Indonesia reporter, the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Sheikh Usama bin Muhammad Al-Shu'aibi said that the cooperation of Saudi Arabia-Indonesia has increased after King Salman's visit to Jakarta. Ambassador Usama also said that the Saudi Arabian Kingdom is now focusing to increase the cooperation in security sector against terrorism. In the security sector, Saudi delegations come to Indonesia to make an agreement, and Indonesia will go to Saudi Arabia to realize it. This is the most important because without security, the nation cannot survive. Therefore, we are focusing to fight against terrorism even if the terrorists are close to us. Ambassador Sheikh Usama bin Muhammad Al-Shu'aibi added that there were 11 agreements signed during King Salman's visit to Indonesia, such as security, trade, religious affairs, agriculture, and security, especially terrorist act. The agreement will be done gradually by the two states. The event was attended by the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, several ministries, national figures, ambassadors from various countries, activists, businessmen, and other invitees. The head of Data Center and Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB Sutopo Purwonugroho said that Mount Agung, that is situated in Karangasem, Bali, has a big chance to erupt. Therefore, a radius of 9 km plus 12 km on the north until northeast, southeast, south and southwest of the mountain have to be emptied. Sutopo also reminded the danger of volcanic ash with a speed of 300 km an hour. Besides the lava flow, volcanic rock and vertical eruption also become a threat. It is estimated that in a disaster-prone area, there are 62,000 people and 70,000 livestock that have to be evacuated. Sutopo appreciates when alert stages was released, thousands of people around Mount Agung evacuated themselves.
Sampai dengan siang ini, jumlah pengungsi 48,000.
Until this afternoon, the numbers of refugees are about 48,540 people spread in 301 points in 9 regencies in Bali. This data will be added because we haven't finished to file the documents. Sutopo further said that at noon, the refugees back to their home to feed their livestock, then back to the rescue post in the afternoon. Sutopo explained that the spread of the rescue post had trouble to distribute logistics. He also appreciated Balinese people who helped for the refugees. The Bali governor Imade Mangkupastika declared the provincial emergency stages, which is coordinated by the Disaster Mitigation Agency. It is also already coordinated with Indonesian Army, Police, Social Ministry, Health Ministry, Transportation Ministry, National Rescue Team and Public Works and Housing Ministry. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency has budgeted 4 trillion rupiah to handle during and after disaster occurred. Indonesian government has targeted a number of foreign tourist visits in 2017, about 5.5 million visits. The head of Central Data and Information of Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said that the high activity of Mount Agung has strong connection with the target of tourism achievement. During the press conference held on Monday, Sutopo explained several countries such as the United States, England, Australia, and Singapore have declared travel advice to their people to not enter the area of Mount Agung. In addition, the Transportation Ministry, including Ngurah Rai Airport and Port, have said an anticipation if the disaster occurred. Even though he said that tourism activities and flight in Bali still in a normal condition. There's no airport closure and tourism object in Bali because everything is still in a safe condition to visit. The dangerous area is around 9 km plus 12 km from a mound where there are only Pura Besaki tourism object and Mount Agung climbing road, while other sites still safe. Sutopo further explained that if the eruption occurred, it will be discussed whether the Ngurah Rai International Airport will be closed or not. Angkasa Pura and Airport Authority will see volcanic ash expansion, which is counted based on the international standard. All airlines have agreed to follow the existing regulation. In the worst condition, there have been prepared vehicles to evacuate people to Padang Bay Harbor and Kilimanuk. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia has predicted the Central Kalimantan economy to grow from 7 to 7.4% in the fourth quarter of 2017, fueled by an increase in household consumption, export, and government spending. The expansion of productive oil palm plantations and the development of processing industry and trade will also contribute to the economic growth in the fourth quarter. Chief of BI Representative Office in Central Kalimantan, Wuryanto, stated on Tuesday. Although the Central Kalimantan economic growth will stay above 7 to 7.4%, Bank Indonesia has warned the province to stay alert for the prospect of inflation rate. Bank Indonesia has predicted the province's inflation rate in the fourth quarter of 2017 to increase and stay at a range of between 4.20 and 5.60% year-on-year compared to the same quarter last year. Waryanto added that the province's inflation is based on disaggregation groups in the fourth quarter of 2017, including volatile food, administered prices and core inflation. The pressure of volatile food is expected to increase in the fourth quarter of 2017. Indonesia needs some 10,000 cybersecurity experts to deal with international cybersecurity threats that tend to increase. Major General Hartin Asrin, head of the Education and Training Department of the Defense Ministry, noted in a press statement in Bali on Wednesday, September 27, 2017, that it could not be postponed. We are heading there. Cybersecurity is the third priority in the state's defense effort after radicalism, in addition to terrorism and drugs. Indonesia should optimize its existing human resources to recruit 10,000 cybersecurity experts, Asrin stated while attending Cyber Jawara or Champion National Hacker Competition being held in Kuta Bali on September 26 to 29, 2017. The world needs at least 1 million cybersecurity experts to fight cyber crimes and threats in the cyber world, according to Rudy Lumanto, chairman of the Indonesian Security Incident Response Team on Internet Infrastructure, or the monitoring team on cyber attack threats. Currently, Indonesia has only some hundreds to a thousand internationally certified cybersecurity experts. The last item, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita together with Indian Trade and Industry Minister Suresh Prabhu discussed CPO tariff and chance to cooperate in pharmacy sector on Monday, September 25, in New Delhi, India. According to the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, September 27, the two ministers met in the second Indonesia-India Bilateral Trade Ministers Forum, BTMF. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita and Minister Suresh also discussed steps to increase cooperation in trade and investment. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that Indonesia raised an issue of CPO entrance fee from 7.5% to 15% and from 15% to 25% until it caused Indonesia's export products' competitiveness decrease to India. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita added that he also raised other products issues such as coffee, rubber, and atsiri oil that also hit by the high tariff even though the products is needed by India. The two ministers also discussed cooperation in pharmacy sector. Indonesia re-invite India to invest in active pharmaceutical ingredients. The development of investment will be discussed further through the Health and Pharmacy Authority of the two states. Listener, that was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Merkel's Narrow Victory. Despite finally winning the election, it doesn't mean German Chancellor Angela Merkel can smile widely. And not to be queen makes Merkel need a coalition to rule. The one thing that distracted her mind is that her partner during the last administration did not want to form a coalition anymore. Merkel's party, the Christian Democrat Party, CDU, and its coalition partner, the Socialist Party, CSU, did not succeed in boosting the votes. They even suffered a decline. Another partner, the Social Democrat Party, SPD, led by Martin Schulz, said they were no longer in coalition with Merkel. Without coalition, Malefice will lose the majority in parliament. The problem is, Merkel will not easily make a coalition with other parties, such as AfD, for instance. The ultra-right party got 13% of the votes in the election, which makes AFD become the third largest power. AFD obviously cannot be a coalition partner because their political views contradicts with Merkel's. Other parties, the FDP, the Left Party, and the Green Party, despite showing votes increase, got much fewer votes compared to AFD. Merkel is not easily able to coalition with these parties because FDP party is less suited to the Green Party. In fact, coalitions with these parties, known as the Jamaican coalition, due to the party's flag colors, green of the Green Party, yellow of FDP party, and black of CDU, are necessary. The elections in Germany this time left at least two surprises. First, the party that has long been in government must accept the fact of the decline in vote. Secondly, the new party that carries the issue of anti-immigrants like AFDP got a double-digit votes increase instead. It is expected that the government in Germany will continue to run well despite the difficulty of building coalitions. Because Germany is now a stabilizer in the EU region, the country continues to grow positively and significantly more than any other European country. Germany's stability also keeps the EU stable so that the ASEAN economies that are still flowing to other regions, including the EU, can be accommodated. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinugraha.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on September 27, 1945, Post and Telecommunications Day. The takeover of the Bureau of Post, Telegraph and Telephone, or PTT, was from the Japanese occupational power by Indonesian freedom fighters. The 27th of September each year is celebrated as Hari Bakti Postal, or Post and Telecommunications Day. It is to commemorate the date when some Indonesian youth who were members of the young generation of Post, Telegraph and Telephone, abbreviated AMPTT, took over the Bureau of Post, Telegraph and Telephone, PTT, from the Japanese government power on September 27, 1945. Indonesia's Independence Day had been proclaimed for a month. The AMPTT youth such as Sutoko, Suwarno, Slamet Sumari, Yusuf and Agus Salman approached the Japanese occupational government to hand over the office of PTT to them. But their effort became deadlocked. Negotiations with the Japanese always failed. Then they decided that on September 27, 1945, PTT had to be seized by force from the hands of the Japanese. Since then, September 27, 1945 is always celebrated as Hari Bakti Postal or Post and Telecommunications Day. On September 27, 1980 is an event celebrated as the First World Tourism Day. Since 1980, the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, has celebrated the World Tourism Day on September 27. This date was chosen as on that day. In 1970, the statutes of the UNWTO were adopted. The adoption of these statutes is considered a milestone in global tourism. The purpose of this day is to raise awareness on the role of tourism within the international community and to demonstrate how it affects social, cultural, political, and economic values worldwide. At its 12th session in Istanbul, Turkey in October 1997, the UNWTO General Assembly decided to designate a host country each year to act as the organization's partner in the celebration of the World Tourism Day. The late Ignatius Amadoua Atikpi, a Nigerian national, was the one who proposed the idea of marking September 27 every year as the World Tourism Day. He was finally recognized for his contribution in 2009. The last is on 27 September 1988, the National League for Democracy, NLD, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, was established in Myanmar. The National League for Democracy, NLD, is a democratic socialist and liberal democratic political party in Myanmar, currently serving as the governing party. Founded on September 27, 1988, it has become one of the most influential parties in Myanmar's pro-democracy movement. Special Honorary President of the Socialist International and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Aung San Suu Kyi serves as its president, and she is currently serving as State Councilor of Myanmar. The party won a substantial parliamentary majority in the 1990 Burmese general election. However, the ruling military junta refused to recognize the result. On May 6, 2010, the party was declared illegal and ordered to be disbanded by the junta after refusing to register for the elections slated for November 2010. In November 2011, the NLD announced its intention to register as a political party to contend future elections, and on December 13, 2011, Burma's Union Election Commission approved their application for registration. In the 2012 by-elections, the NLD contested 44 of the 45 available seats, winning 43 and losing only one seat to the SNDP. In the 2015 general election, the NLD won a supermajority in both houses of the Assembly, paving the way for the country's first non-military president in 54 years. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today, we'll invite you to talk about Batang Gadis National Park cages, six endangered species. Listener, Batang Gadis National Park in North Sumatra Province, through the network of 120 trap cameras, has captured the sightings of six endangered species, including Sumatran Toctor birds. The appearance of the Sumatran Toctor bird, or its Latin name, Corpococcyx viridis, was the first time in Batang Gadis National Park. The bird species was considered extinct in 1916, before being rediscovered in 1997. It is estimated that the population is only 50 to 249 adults. Based on the photos of the trap cameras captured in Batang Gadis National Park, the Sumatran Toctor birds were seen on November 19, 2016. In addition to Sumatran Toctor birds, there have been catches, the sightings of five other endangered species in Batang Gadis National Park area, namely Sunda's pangolin, Sumatran leopard, Sumatran tiger, tapir, and Asiatic wild dog. Endemic species Kuau Sumatra and Sempidan Sumatra was recorded in the camera. A Sumatra leopard, with the Latin name Nymphalis drpssp, was captured on November 11, 2016. A Sunda pangolin with the Latin name Pangolin manis javanica on October 31, 2016. And a tapir Latin named Tapirus indicus was captured on November 10, 2016.
Meanwhile, for the Sumatran tiger, or Latin Panthera tigris sumatrae, at least the trap camera has captured 3 times the only remaining species of 400 to 500, respectively on May 28, December 2, and December 11, 2016. It was said by press release from Senior Terrestrial Policy Advisor Conservation International Indonesia, Iman Santosa, received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta Monday, September 25. Santosa said, "It is not too late to prevent endangered species from extinction, but fundamental action needs to be done by governments and communities." He added that humans need wild animals to keep forests, while forests provide food, clean water, and livelihoods for their health. Batang Gadis National Park Area, which was inaugurated in 2004, is located in the north of mountain range of Bukit Barisan. The area is known as the most populous tapir habitat in Southeast Asia and one of the rare Sumatran tiger houses. The area has more than 70,000 hectares and lies at an altitude of 300 to 2,145 meters above sea level, with its highest point on the peak of Mount Merapi. Administratively, it is the 42nd national park of 52 national parks in Indonesia. This area is located in Mandailing Natal District, North Sumatra Province. The name of this national park, Sungai Batang Gadis, is derived from the name of the main river that flows and divides Mandailing Natal District. That was today's Voice Green.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia becomes one of countries which is rich with marine resources compared to many countries in the world. Therefore, integrated empowerment and management are needed to optimize the expected result. The Saudi Arabian Embassy in Indonesia is celebrating its 87th National Day of Saudi Arabian Kingdom that falls on September 23rd in Grand Ballroom Hotel Ritz-Carlton, Jakarta on Monday, September 25. During the interview with Voice of Indonesia reporter, the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Sheikh Usama bin Muhammad Al-Shu'aibi, said that the cooperation of Saudi Arabia-Indonesia has increased after King Salman's visit to Jakarta. The head of Data Center and Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said that Mount Agung, situated in Karangasempali, has a big chance to erupt. Therefore, a radius of 9 kilometers plus 12 kilometers on the north until northeast, southeast, south, and southwest of the mountain have to be emptied. Indonesian government has targeted a number of foreign tourist visits in 2017, about 5.5 million visits. The head of Central Data and Information of Disaster Mitigation Agency, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said that the high activity of Mount Agung has strong connection with the target of tourism achievement. Bank Indonesia has predicted the Central Kalimantan economy to grow from 7 to 7.4% in the fourth quarter of 2017, fueled by an increase in household consumption, export, and government spending. Indonesia needs some 10,000 cybersecurity experts to deal with international cybersecurity threats that tend to increase. Major General Hasti Nasrin, head of the Education and Training Department of the Defense Ministry, noted in a press statement in Bali on Wednesday, September 27, 2017, that it could not be postponed. We are heading there. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, together with Indonesian Trade and Industry Minister Suresh Prabhu, discussed CPO tariffs and chance to cooperate in pharmacy sector on Monday, September 25, 2017, in New Delhi, India. According to the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, September 27, the two ministers met in the second Indonesia-India Bilateral Trade Ministers Forum, BTMF. Minister Enggar Tias and Minister Suresh also discussed steps to increase cooperation in trade and investment. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Tangerang. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you are bored and stressful due to daily routines, for most people, they will be fresh and spirited after taking time off. Recently, a tourism destination has been discussed and its location is not far from Jakarta. The name of the location is Biru Cisoka Lake. Listeners, Biru Cisoka Lake, or well known with the name Biru Cigaru Lake, is natural one. In the past, this lake was excavation of sand from 2006 until 2012. After the excavation hole with depth of 1,000 meters is filled with rainwater and stagnant, so that it becomes a lake. The local people mention the lake with the name Biru Cigaru. The name is given because the water of the lake has blue color, but its color is not always blue. It is because the water of the lake has been high acidity level. The tourism destination, which has been well known since 2016, has three lakes. The first lake has green watercolor, the second lake has blue watercolor, and the third lake has turquoise watercolor. Although the lake has beautiful colors, visitors are prohibited to swim because of high water acidity level. But you do not have to worry, you can enjoy the beauty of the lake closer. Tourists can rent small boat to go around the lake. To rent the boat, visitors only pay 20,000 rupiah. At the tourism object complex, there are various facilities such as parking area, spot to take a picture, and also gazebo to take a rest. And you are not necessary to bring your own food because there is stall which sells food and beverage. Listeners, Biru Cisoka Lake is located at Cigaru Hamlet, Cisoka Village, Cisoka Sub-District, Tangerang Regency. To go to the lake, we suggest you to use train from Jakarta to avoid traffic jam. From Jakarta, you use train from Tanah Abang, Maja, and stop at Tiga Rasa Station, Tangerang. From the station, the trip is continued by using public transportation to Adiyasa Balaraja and stop at Cisoka. At the point, visitors can walk until the gateway of Biru Cisoka Lake. From the gateway, the trip is continued by walking around 200 meters. For parking car, visitors must pay 10,000 rupiah and 2,000 rupiah for motorcycle. Meanwhile, visitors who do not drive their own vehicle are free of charge. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Biru Cisokalek in Tangerang. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is berkenalan, or in English, get acquainted. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly, twice. You can follow after me. Berkenalan, berkenalan, in English to get acquainted. Memanggil, memanggil, in English to call. Di mana, where. Tempat tinggal, in English residence. Dekat, dekat, in English near or close. Mahasiswa, mahasiswa, in English, student. Universitas Indonesia, Universitas Indonesia, in English, University of Indonesia. Tenaga apoteker, in English, pharmacist. Apotik, apotik, in English, pharmacy. Umur, umur, age. Jerman, Jerman, in English, Germany. Senang bertemu denganmu, senang bertemu denganmu, in English, glad to meet you. Sampai bertemu lagi. Sampai bertemu lagi. In English, see you. Next is a conversation about berkenalan, or in English, be acquainted. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Rudy and Robert. Rudy, selamat malam. Selamat malam, in English, good evening. Robert, selamat malam, saya Robert. Selamat malam, saya Robert, in English, good evening, I'm Robert. Rudy, senang bertemu denganmu. Senang bertemu denganmu, in English, nice to meet you. Robert, bolehkah saya menjadi temanmu? Bolehkah saya menjadi temanmu? In English, let me be your friend. Rudy, tentu boleh. Tentu boleh. In English, of course, why not? Robert, siapa namamu? Siapa namamu? What is your name? Rudy, nama saya Rudy Darmawan. Nama saya Rudy Darmawan. In English, my name is Rudy Darmawan. Tapi kamu boleh memanggil saya Rudy. Tapi
kamu boleh memanggil saya Rudy. In English, but you may call me Rudy. Robert, di mana tempat tinggalmu? Di mana tempat tinggalmu? In English, where do you live? Rudy, saya tinggal di Jalan Dharma Wangsa nomor 15 Kebayoran Baru, tidak jauh dari sini. Saya tinggal di Jalan Dharma Wangsa nomor 15 Kebayoran Baru, tidak jauh dari sini. In English, I live on Jalan Dharma Wangsa nomor 15 Kebayoran Baru, not far from here. Robert, selain sebagai mahasiswa, apa kegiatanmu yang lain? Selain sebagai mahasiswa, apa kegiatanmu yang lain? In English, besides being a student, what is your side activity? Rudy, selain menjadi mahasiswa Universitas Indonesia, saya juga bekerja di apotek. Selain menjadi mahasiswa Universitas Indonesia, saya juga bekerja di apotek. In English, besides being a student of the University of Indonesia, I also work at the pharmacy. Sebagai apoteker. In English, as a pharmacist. Robert, berapa umurmu? In English, how old are you? Rudy, umur saya 23 tahun. Umur saya 23 tahun. In English, I am 23 years old. Bagaimana denganmu? Apakah kamu mahasiswa baru di sini? Bagaimana denganmu? Apakah kamu mahasiswa baru di sini? In English, how about you? Are you a new student here? Robert, Ya, saya mahasiswa baru di sini. In English, yes, I'm the new student here. Rudy, kamu berasal dari negara mana? In English, where do you come from? Robert, saya dari Jerman. In English, I come from Germany. Rudy, baiklah, senang bertemu denganmu. In English, alright, nice to meet you. Rudy, Robert, sampai bertemu lagi. In English, see you.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with other topics, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs of a female singer, namely Sai. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sayang by Sai. Happy listening.
Ooh, hey. Sayang, apa kabar denganmu? Di sini ku merindukan kamu. Ku harap cintamu takkan berubah, karena di sini ku tetap untukmu. Sayang, apa kabar denganmu? Cobalah kamu telepon diriku. Ku rindu dengar suara indahmu, karena dirimulah semangat hidupku. Sayang, dengarlah permintaanku. Nah, di sini ku tetap untukmu. Sayang, apa kabar denganmu? Cobalah kamu telepon diriku. Ku rindu dengar suara indahmu, karena dirimu lah semangat hidupku. Sayang, dengarlah permintaanku, jangan ragukan cintaku. Sayang, percayalah apa kataku, karena ku sayang kamu. Sayang, dengarlah permintaanku, jaga hatimu untukku. Sayang, dengarlah bisikan hatiku, karena ku sayang kamu. Check down.
Song Sayang by Sai has initiated this regular music corner for today's edition. Cheryl Gatting, or better known as Sai, was born in Pekanbaru Riau on February 16, 1994. Sai began to pursue the music world since she was 15 years old by continuing to follow the singing contest. Through one of the singing contests, Sai also made with Posan Tobing, former drummer of Kotak Band. Under the tutoring of Posan Tobing, Sai also entered the Indonesian music industry through her first album entitled The First, which was released in 2012. The leading single of the album is Sayang. With simple lyrics and arrangements, the song has easily stolen the heart of Indonesian music lovers. Not only in Indonesia, the song Sayang has become the hits in some radio stations in neighboring country Malaysia. Moreover, there were many positive comments from various countries on Sai's YouTube channel. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Rindu by Sai. Happy listening.
Aku senang
kembalikan warga cinta. Moga manis jangan tangis sakit tinta. Semua janji yang pernah dideklarasi tinggal puisi sepi minta dideklamasi. Aku masih bergelut memeluk takdir. Detik bermula sehingga kemelut berakhir. Apapun juga keputusan aku terima walau jujurnya tak keruan. Dan yang dah berlaku biarkan berlalu. Nescaya nestapa ku kan diubat waktu. Kau harus bahagia walau tak bersamaku. Kabarnya hidupku kini ibarat ratu. Nahu lagu berbau tak berkutahu. Namun bukan niat tu menggugat dan mengganggu. Semoga kau pun merindui dua lokasi hati satu frekuensi. Aku rindu.
Sejujurnya aku merindu kamu di sini bersama.
Banyak yang mahu ku berkatakan. Menyusul lekahan mengukur punca retakan. Sejujurnya dirimu tak ku bersalahkan. Sempurna perbuatan, perkataan dan perwatakan. Mungkin semuanya berpunca dari aku yang selalu keterlaluan memahukan sesuatu. Memori bila parafernalia cinta setia mencerita sisa memori tercinta. Bila ku mengadu ke purnama bertanyakan kabar ku jangka ku di sana. Mengisi cinta lama sibuk dihidupkan menjadi senandung lestari bayu titikan.
Yang kau nyanyikan aku nyanyi juga. Tak sempurna tapi ku kan tetap coba. Semoga terus merindui dua lokasi hati satu frekuensi. Aku rindu.
Listener, that was the song Rindu by Sai featuring Nukilan. In addition to work in the music world, Sai also had actively in the acting or film industry. Several titles of movie and soap operas have been played by Sai. However, the acting world cannot stop Sai from the music. In addition to the first album, Sai then released various singles in 2014 and 2015. Then, Sai's second album entitled Magic released in 2016. In this second album, she moved from the pop genre to electronic dance music, EDM. Sai admitted that she was very interested in EDM music. Thanks to her talent in singing, Sai is often invited to perform in various music festivals in the country. Moreover, at the end of September 2017, the 23-year-old singer was appointed to represent Indonesia in the Asia Song Festival 2017 event held in Busan Asian Main Stadium, South Korea. One of major Korean music labels considers Sai is suitable to appear in the Asian Music Festival. However, Sai admitted that she did not know more details of the assessment of the Korean music label. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Suka Kamu and Seperti Magic by Sai. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Sama kamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Bisa hilang dari otakku.
Seperti magic, magic.
Kau hanya datang permainkanku. Semua cerita cinta yang dulu pernah ada, tapi kini telah sirna.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.